that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And got a couple of gentlemen, good godly men on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Richard.
Thank you for joining us this morning. And we've also got Tim from Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Richard. I'm glad to be here. We're looking forward to the coffee.
Yeah, good morning. And I got me a big cup. My son bought me it's almost a thermos. It's insulated like a thermos, but it's got a lid on top, and it keeps half a quart of coffee good and hot. And so I've got my coffee here, got my Bible open. Hopefully you men do too. And
amen.
And we're just continuing on with Coffee with the Wranglers. Kyle's been sick. Keep Kyle in your prayers as well. He's been sick this week, and that old crud's been kind of rolling around everywhere, it seems like. And of course, Jason's home recuperating, trying to get him all recuperated up, and giving him a little time off. And then John's doing a little traveling with his children. They had some things going on this weekend, and they were traveling, I think, some late nights and early mornings. And so, but we had talked about that a little bit yesterday. So we sure appreciate you men standing in the gap, as John talks about at times, and getting up early and coming on. And we'll open the phone lines up in a little bit and see if we have anybody out there that wants to join us. But, you know, why don't we open up with a quick word of prayer? And I know you guys were praying right before the program, so maybe we'll just add to that a little bit. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day you give us, Lord. The sun is shining, the sun is up, and, Lord, we know that the Son of God is there on the throne at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down out of that heavenly realm, walking the earth like a man, and facing the temptations that we face, Lord, but not yielding to them. And then, Lord, willingly going to the cross, knowing what you would endure, but doing so willingly, Lord. Thank you for that. To redeem us, to buy us back, to bring us back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. To bring us back as the bride, adorned in white once again. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to walk in that way. Help us to remember that, Lord, that we are the bride of Christ and that we are to prepare and be ready for that. Lord, we ask that you would be here with us. We gather this morning in your name and we ask that you would be here with us. We know your word says, for two or more gather in your name, you are there also. So we welcome you here. We ask you to bless the broadcast. Lord, be with our thoughts and our words, and let the things that we talk about today, Lord, be edifying to your people. Let it be food for them, Lord, even if it's just food for thought this Saturday morning or whenever they hear this broadcast. Lord, let it be a blessing to them. Let it help open their eyes and help draw them near to you. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship. We ask your blessings on it, to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well,
just another opportunity to serve our Lord today.
Amen. Amen. I've told everybody we're going to continue to kind of remind you to read your Bible this year. We've got a Bible reading plan that's out there. We sent out the annual plan the whole year. Went out the first of the year with the Dragon Slayer Volume 1 newsletter. If you need more of those Bible reading plans for 2015 that carries you all the way through the end of the year, just let us know. We'd be glad to send you some. And then each month we're putting one together. Today's the last day of February, February 28th, and so was able to get a March calendar over up to Jason, and we're going to see if we can get that posted to the website tomorrow. And just another little tool to help you in reading the Bible. If you're reading it through according to the plan, you should be just getting into Deuteronomy yesterday. And the first couple, yesterday was kind of review in Deuteronomy, a review of the travels, a review of the wanderings. You'll read Deuteronomy 3 and 4 today. 3, they kind of review the conquests. Moses tells of the conquests of, he reminds the people of all the people that our God, their God and our God, that all the people that he pushed away from them and wiped out in front of them so that they could be blessed. And then in verse or chapter 4, you'll read about how once again that they are urged to watch themselves, to self-govern themselves. They're told, here's the law. This is what you do, this is what you don't do, so do what you're supposed to do. And don't do what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. And so it's a good review.
You talked about reading your Bible. I was sitting here with my Bible open to Proverbs chapter 3, and the little subtitle above it says the rewards of wisdom. I was looking at Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than a fine gold.
Amen.
She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with it. I think that goes hand in hand with what you're saying, is if you're seeking that wisdom and you're seeking to be rich in understanding, the word is how you accomplish that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's Deuteronomy's one of those books where we learn about internal government versus external government. Like you said, self-government is the way God wishes for us to govern ourselves. We don't have to rule over all our brothers. They're to rule over themselves, and that administrative law, which I think it goes into that in about chapter 17. When you get there, it starts talking about administrative justice and some of those things in Deuteronomy. And what we find out is that those brute beasts or those people who won't govern themselves, then God puts in place a way to deal with them. And but we're always given that opportunity to be wise, to follow God's way, and we have that wonderful ability to walk with the Lord in sweet fellowship if we'll just do it His way. But that gives us those abilities to do that. And I kind of want to go into that whole thing with that as far as administrative law goes. We've got an administrative law example kind of setting before us right now. We've got this FCC Net Neutrality Act. Have you heard much about that? As far as, I mean, they passed it 2-3. It was voted on by the FCC. They're not elected. That makes them administrative. And, you know, the administrative aspect of it is, that's God's domain. I mean, we hear about all these things with executive orders and administrative law, and the only one who has that kind of authority is God. I mean, to set those in place. But they're basically want to reclassify the Internet as a common carrier, like your phone or your television stations or those sort of things. They're claiming that increases freedom and liberty, possibly. And, of course, the people who are against it, you know, are saying, well, it's just opening a door to censorship and control. And, obviously, probably funds. I mean,
does that mean they're going to, you know, they want to start charging? Would want to start charging for the Internet or what?
Well, I'm sure that there's going to be some licensure of service providers and of Internet service providers, and along with licensing and licensure comes that ability to censor what's put out there, because then otherwise your license is in jeopardy, you know, if you don't. And it's kind of a recurring theme. We've seen it, you know, we've seen it from everything from 501c3 churches to anything else. Hillary Clinton had a quote that was kind of interesting. She was basically saying, in regards to this Net Neutrality Act, she was saying that there were too many viewpoints on important subjects, creating too much diversity out there, and that's no way to run a country. We need to have it. We need to unify the views and the information that are put out there. So, you know, that sounded like a summary of, you know, what they were thinking about, and we've seen all that. But I couldn't help but think in regards to, you know, we call it the net, and they all do, and nets have multiple uses. I mean, if you can fish with a net and feed your family or your city or your town, you can net wild animals or net butterflies or but the Bible talks about using nets in ways that aren't always as good. You know, it says, I know Psalm 35:8 says, let destruction come upon him unawares, and let the net which he hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. There's a lot of net references in the Bible, and I think that you know, basically, the summarization of this whole thing is, it's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist, really. And yes, there are horrific things on the Internet. We've talked about that before, Richard. I know I've heard everybody talk about it, but you're back to self-government. Don't go there. Don't look at it. Don't take part in that. Right.
Well, those horrific things won't be the ones that are censored.
Oh, no, exactly. Those are the ones that have to be allowed to our kindergartners and third graders in public school. And we've seen that, you know. You can't bring a Bible to school, but they can bring condoms and everything else and teach our children and expose our children. And I say as a, you know, that is a group. Our children don't go to public school. And a long time ago, I know when I went to public school, but it was different 30 years ago. and 30 plus years ago. And, you know, there's a couple of things. Pastor talked years ago on the difference between a preference and a conviction. You know, a preference, you might prefer to drive, I know, Josh, you prefer to drive a Ford, right? You drive Fords?
That doesn't matter to me, I suppose.
Oh.
Got a Fords, Dodges, and Chevy.
So. Yeah, so there you go. So, you know, you prefer to drive a, you know, Tim prefers to drive a Dodge. He's got a Dodge. His son Jake.
I prefer to drive American-made vehicles.
There
you go. With that.
There you go. It's a preference, you know, you've driven a little rice burner before, though, haven't you?
That's right.
Yeah, and I
didn't like it, but I sure liked the fuel mileage.
Right, absolutely. And so, you know, we have things that are a preference. You know, I prefer a certain kind of coffee over another kind, but if I don't have my kind, I'll sure drink that other kind of coffee. But a conviction.
Right.
A conviction is something you stand on, and you say, "No, this is a conviction, and I'm gonna stand on this, and you're not gonna change me on it." You know, and we're talking about a biblical type conviction, and so there was a story. I don't think I have it here, but it's one of those bakers that out in Washington that would not make a cake for a pervert homosexual couple, and told the couple that and said, listen, there's 9 other bakeries here and you know, said that's where you can go, but my religious convictions don't allow me to do this. Well, the state of Washington is all over her, and this isn't even Sweet Cakes by Melissa. This is a different one. And they're coming against her convictions. And the last thing I saw, she said, you can find me all you want. You can take my house. I'm not going to go to your training, and I'm not going to change my ways. And the husband in this Sweet Cakes by Melissa has said, said the same thing. You know, those people have had their back put up against the wall, and they've had that test that has come upon them. And, you know, and they've stood by their convictions. You know, we back to that with the pastor teaching, you know, we had a conviction long ago regarding vaccinations and regarding school. And you know, they are not preferences. We homeschool. It's not that we have a preference to homeschool; it's a conviction. But you know, one thing we have to understand is the enemy. Oh, they have convictions as well, and their convictions, I think, are just to destroy. They are of their father, the devil. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know, part of this, Tim, you mentioned this administrative that the FCC is doing. It's to destroy, and as you said, Josh, it's to be able to have more control, so they can destroy more, so that they could come to a ministry like this that puts truth out, and say, "Oh no, that's discriminatory," and you can't put that out. And that was how. See if I can. I think I might. Oh, here it is. Yeah. I got a quote here from the Attorney General office in Washington. And it says, let's see here. Stutzman is the Attorney General out in Washington. And he says, no, Stutzman is the baker. Stutzman and the baker. Here it says, Judge Ekstrom out in Washington says, while religious beliefs are protected by the First Amendment, actions based on those beliefs aren't necessarily protected. So see, you can believe all you want. Just don't do anything with that belief. You know?
Wow. Yeah.
And
and that's back to what Tim and I were talking about the other night, is there are a lot of people that have been paralyzed by fear because of these rulings by these judges and what have you. And if you don't do anything, you have been neutralized. You are worthless to our cause. Whenever you are standing on those convictions that you're talking about, whenever you're making the decision whether to concede or to stand your ground, people need to realize that you are deciding who you're going to fear, whether you're going to fear our God or you're going to fear their God. That's what it boils down to, because conviction is something that is divine communication, you know, whether it be through the word or something that the Lord laid on your heart. And
amen.
It's I don't want to be found fearing them.
Amen. And I wish the people.
It's a motivating force.
Yes.
Conviction's a motivating force. And, you know, we've talked about it before. I think it bears bringing up again. But those enemies of our God that stand up against him, they have no trouble with exercising their convictions. And a lot of, you know, I get asked a lot of times, I just don't understand why they're doing this. I mean, how can this, you know, if they're motivated, a lot of people say, well, follow the money, and that's fine up to a point as far as motivation goes. But once you have all the money and once you have all this, we see these numbers, you know, about the 1% and about all these sort of things. So what is the motivation beyond that? I mean, basically, once you own the printing presses, once you have the power to turn them on and create whatever they create, the pandemonium that is all this, what else is there to gain? And the real thing is their conviction is toward the God that they serve is a complete destruction and annihilation of God's people. That's what they seek to bring about, you know. And it's really hard for us to get our head around the fact that they're not out there to necessarily rule over your body. I mean, that's an interim pleasure for them. Their true conviction is the complete destruction of God's creation, you know. So I think we see that as a motivating factor for them.
It is. We need to realize.
At this point in time.
Go ahead, Josh.
Go ahead, Richard. At this point in time, whenever you look at the forces of darkness and the true Christians, they're a lot more disciplined force than we are, all in all. And I'm not saying that they're not some of us, and I'm not saying that it takes a lot, but I'm saying if you look at the two forces as a whole, the people that call themselves Christians have no discipline whatsoever.
James 2:17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Verse 18 says, someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Because we follow our Father. And they follow their father. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. And so, you know, that's a good verse to use for the belief only. You know, that's all you hear on the so-called Christian radio is believe. Belief only. Believe. Oh, if you believe, you know, you'll be saved. Believe on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. And, you know, there's a couple scripture verses that are real close to that. But there's also scripture verses that say we're to be a doer of the word, you know, and so we have to use all of the scripture. But anyway, the point there was that, yeah, we show our faith by our works, by what we do. This woman, Miss Stutzman, the baker out there, let me tell you something. She may not have everything about Christianity right. Who does? But I can see her faith by her works, by her standing up and saying, you know, I'm not paying. She said the money that they want to fine her $2,000, and she said, you know, that'd be like Judas betraying Jesus, she said, and I'm not going to do it. And the Attorney General office out there says, my primary goal has always been to bring about an end to the defendant's unlawful conduct, and to make clear that I will not tolerate discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. And so, see, the time of the tares and the wheat, we are rushing upon it, it as fast as we can. And these tares, like this Bob Ferguson, are just that. They are tares. Go ahead, Josh.
If that doesn't sound like a small G God, I don't know what does. I will not tolerate.
Yeah. Let me tell you what God will not tolerate. You read back in your, hopefully you read it today. Read Deuteronomy 4. Read Deuteronomy 4, verse 15. He says, watch yourselves carefully. Watch yourselves carefully. You read about what he tells you to watch yourself about. What he says down, starting in verse 25 and 27. He says, don't act corruptly. don't have other idols, don't follow, you know, and he reiterates, have no other gods before me. And you're right, that's just what this guy is. He's putting himself up, he's representing that small g god of government.
Yeah, and back to that acting on beliefs and faith and convictions, we owe it to this lady that's making a stand. Like you said, you don't know if she's right as far as in her Christian beliefs, if she's a baptized believer or whatever, but she's making a stand that it is right. So we owe it to her to pray for her and lift her up and pray that she is right. There, if she isn't, that she gets right and that the Lord blesses, you know, her, the fruits of her labor.
Amen. And, well, Josh, why don't you do that? She's got, there's her down there. There's a baker in Denver. There's another baker out in Oregon. You know, we're seeing this. It's an attack.
There were some flower people. There were some flower florists in what was it, Arizona or New Mexico down there?
New Mexico.
Read about, and they're in the same. Yeah, okay. They're in the same. They're in the same boat. So,
well, Josh, why don't you pray for them?
Lord, we come to you.
We'll be in agreement.
Lord, we come to you in agreement this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we lift up all those throughout our land who are making a stand, Lord, who are. Have drawn that line in the sand and said that I will not give up my convictions and I will not serve Baal and those small g gods. Lord, we lift them up to you and pray that you would grant them stout hearts, Lord, and a spirit that will not fail. Lord, we just pray that if we need to give them support, whether it be financial or calling or writing, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray that you put it on our hearts and show us what to do, Lord, to help them to stand. Lord, we just pray that they will become Christians, that they will hear your word and heed it, Lord, and line up in all that they do. I pray that you would bless them, Lord.
Yes.
And I pray that you would inspire other men and women, other people, Lord, to stand with them and to know that there is none who has any power like yours, Lord. Greater is he that's for us than against us, Lord. We come against the spirit of fear that they're trying to paralyze our people with, and I will not tolerate. Lord, we curse that spirit of fear into the pits of hell, Lord, and just pray that, Lord, we know that there is no vacuum in the place of that spirit of fear. We pray that you would give us that spirit of liberty and faith in you and your word, and fill us with that Holy Spirit, Lord, and help us to live our lives with a zeal that will show through us, Lord, your plan for us and your love and your mercy on your people, Lord, and your wrath for those who are against you. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you're right, we are to have that spirit of courage. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And, you know, we see the evil things going around us, but we still have to have faith that, you know, God is still in control. And his word is still truth. And the verse right before that, 2 Corinthians 5:6 tells us, being always of good courage, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so to walk by faith, we have to do that. We have to not have that spirit of fear, but we have to have that spirit of courage. You know, that seems like that used to be a saying in our society. You know, be of good courage. You know, be strong. And you know, that's one of the things that has just kind of gone on the byway. And you just don't hear anymore.
And if you need to be the one man that stands first, the Holy Spirit will help you. Ask, pray for it. Pray that the Lord would strengthen your knees and help you to stand. And from what I've seen, normally he sends other men along to help you. Not always, but most of the time, it's contagious. Whenever you stand, the first man, it makes it easier for the second man. And it's a lot easier for the third man to stand with too. And then sometimes it just grows exponentially.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Like the song says, the stout-hearted men. I mean, that's the way that it works.
It is.
Well, and I think that's the other lesson that God was showing us with Elijah when he was thought he was all by himself, you know, and he wasn't. There said, I've got all these others that have it, but sometimes it just takes that one to stand up and make the difference. I've always kind of thought it was unique that we talk about self-government, and like Richard said, it talks about that in Deuteronomy, and the power of the individual in God's kingdom is very great. You know, a lot of people, and I hear that often when we talk, you know, it's, well, what can one person do? You know, I mean, unless we have this majority, you know, and it's like, you are a majority. One person is a majority when they have God. And that we have verse after verse, story after story throughout our Bible that shows with God, there's a majority there with one person, you know. So,
my pet peeve that goes along with that, well, it's only one person, is, well, all I can do is pray about it. And that's got to be such a slap in the face of the Lord whenever, you know, your attitude should be that, well, this is what I need to do is pray about it and then take action. But prayer should always be the answer. And it is what brings about the change, the action, whether it be a victory or not. But it's, the prayer is the main thing. It's not the last resort.
Yeah, exactly. We have our things. We have things backwards. You know, Tim, when you were talking about the way that people say today, oh, we have to have the majority. We have to have the 51%. No, you don't, because the majority of people are in sin. And that's why I think you hear a lot about the majority. Oh, the majority of this, the majority of that. The majority of people are in sin. It's the minority. It's the one here, like you was said earlier, Josh, the one that needs to stand up here to say, and it's like that all throughout the Bible. The one that stands up and says, listen, God has said this. Whether it's you've taken foreign wives, or you're serving a foreign god, or, you know, these people are sinning and you better not follow them. You know, we've read of the, if you've been reading, you've read of the rebellion of Korah, you know, that stands up and says, oh, Moses, who do you think you are? Well, he was who God chose to be in that position. He didn't want to be in it, but he was. And you're right. The one that can stand up, the one that will put his faith into action, that will have the works, that will do the good works. You know, the thought occurs to me, the good works we are to do, you know, we're to follow the commandments. Jesus said the two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
And when our people do that, you know, when you love God, you're going to follow the commandments. You're not going to kill. You're not going to steal. You're not going to murder. You're not going to covet. You're not going to take your neighbor's wife. You're not going to take your neighbor's property. You're going to look out for your neighbor because you want him to look out for you. And you love God. You're doing those things. And when America was growing, when America was blessed, Americans were doing that. And since Americans aren't doing that anymore, America's not blessed. And what has come in the majority now, or at least the majority of in the actions, I don't think they're a majority. The majority of people are in sin, but the majority of the actions today, well, they're following that minority that follow their father, the devil. And he came. He didn't come as Christ did to give life and life abundantly. He came, as I said earlier, to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what do we see in our society today? Stealing, killing, and destruction. And, it's not going to change. Whether it's the FCC or Iraq or Syria or Detroit, you know, because it's what the people are following right now.
Well, and we see an example in the Bible of I got one
I just had a text, and it's very true. We see an example of an individual. Jesus Christ changed the world. I mean, he was an individual who stood up and you know, went that way. He changed the world. And, you know, that's, there's another, and he did all of that as, you know, one person. I mean, for our benefit when you see it. So we have those examples all over in our Bible.
We do. You know, in James, Elijah's another one, James 5:17. And you know, we read this a lot about prayer. And you know, one of the works we're to do if we have faith is pray. And James 5, you know, from 13 to 16 tells about that. It ends up saying the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And so that's one of the works that we are to do. You know, one of the works that Christ did was he healed. That was a work. And one of the works we're to do is to pray. And then it gives us that example of Elijah. Elijah, James 5:17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. You know, Elijah was a man with a nature like yours, Tim, and like yours, Josh, and like yours, Russell, out there, and Ralph, and Chris, and Brandon, and Doug, and, you know, and myself, and Jason, and John, and Kyle. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. We have to remember that. That's what the Word says. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Now his prayers were heard. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And we remember that. You mentioned Elijah earlier. But we have to remember that. That, yeah, we, not in us, not to glorify us, but to glorify God. God uses the one. You know, he uses the Elijah. He uses the Gideon. He uses the Samson.
Exactly.
You know, he uses the Saul. You know, he used Saul before David. Saul turned. He used David. You know, it's going to be exciting. We get up and it's exciting to read about Saul the king, not Saul that became Paul, but Saul the king, and why, you know, what drove him to anger. To rise up against the enemies of God. It's a great story. I'm looking forward to getting to it in our Bible reading plan. But God, you're right. He uses the one. He is the majority. He doesn't need the majority. He usually brings up the one or the two, the small group.
Well, and does it bring more honor to him to have, say, 51%?
No.
Or I'm all, you know, when David, when he went in, you know, God pared those numbers down in multiple stories, of the army. You know, that's too many. You know, that's too many. I don't need this huge strike force, you know.
Right.
And, he brought that down. He brought the numbers down into, miraculous. I call it miraculous ratios, you know.
when God has angels and one angel can he can send one and have 185,000 of the enemy wake up dead the next morning from one angel, and we know he has legions of angels. And so he already has the majority, you know. I like the stories in David too when Saul is turned and he's coming after David time and time again. And he's got David surrounded, and it's just the end is near for David. And then something happens. Enemies invade, or, you know, Saul goes to sleep in the cave and David's there. And it's the hand of God that just works right through it with that one, with David. And David stayed true. He was getting advice. Oh, David, here's your chance. Go ahead and kill Saul and you'll be king. But David understood the word more and better than to do that. And it's that one.
And he prayed and he got the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I want to kind of issue this as an advisory. You know, when you're going to make that stand, when you're going to stand on your convictions and, stand firm. We need to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit on how to make that stand, on what to say or what not to say, because you can't do it on your own.
No.
Even if you're making the right stand, you need guidance on how to make that stand. And
Amen.
Prayer is something that you cannot get around if you're going to be successful, and it's actually dangerous to try to make a stand without the covering, you know, without praying on the armor and praying for the Lord's will, because you're standing out there by yourself with no armor on the battlefield and expecting to stand, and that's not how it works.
Amen. And it's got to glorify God. And it's got to glorify God. You look at all these stories in the Bible. You know, what Gideon did with his 300, it glorified God. What David did, you know, we don't talk about David and pray to David. No, when we see what David did, it glorified Christ. It was a foreshadowing of Christ, and it glorified God. And that has to be there. It's not for self. You know, it's not, I'm going to, because we've heard it over the years. I'm going to show those, I'm suing the IRS for $47 million because I've got it figured out that if I file this form 3712, then I can stick it to them, and it's their own law, and they have to follow it. And now those people are in jail. You know, it's not to glorify, it does not work when it's to glorify self. It works when it's exactly, like you said, Josh, first and foremost, when you're baptized, when you've had repentance and you've been baptized and washed in the blood and clothed in Christ and moved into his kingdom. And then when you pray and you have that full armor and you ask for the guide, and it's the Holy Spirit that guides you in those things. And then, you know, it seems like that these stories we read of in the Bible, it's not like the people usually went looking to do this. It seems like they were usually thrust into it. Does that make sense?
Yep. More like we are female people.
Yeah. And our people are being thrust into it again. You know, they are. You know, for the most part, we're a live and let live people. You know, because, you know, I can live here and you know, we can live and let live with our brethren. You know, if we're all loving God and we're loving our neighbors ourselves, I know that, you know, hey, you're my neighbor out there. You know, you guys aren't going to bother me, and I'm not going to bother you, and we're going to all get along. And it's like, that's our attitude. That's how we want to be. But our enemies aren't like that. Our enemies aren't. And
back to when you were saying, trying to understand why this evil person did this. You can't understand. That you're wasting your time to try to understand, because that's just who they are.
Yes.
We can't think like they do. They are a different creature. They're not even people. And so to try to understand them is, I guess we have some groundwork as far as what you said. The baseline is they've come to do the work of their father, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. And they have nothing but evil intentions in your heart. But past that, to try to figure out how they think and what they do, and to study all this sorcery and divination, all the tools that they use and all, better watch that, because that's pretty dangerous.
It is.
Yes, I agree.
It is. Understand. It just understand.
It can bring about a curse on you. So, and just like Richard said, as far as a good biblical example of not glorifying God, we see that in Moses' life when he struck the rock and was denied access to the new lands that they were going to.
Yes.
And he was angry, and the rock even brought forth water. I mean, he had the ability to get the water out of that rock using the power that God had given him, but God punished him because he didn't do it so that God received the honor, you know,
right.
and God received the glory for it. And we have to watch our, and I think if you read that story and understand it, I don't think that Moses wasn't motivated that he would receive the honor But his failure was that he didn't do it the way God told him to, so that God received the honor because of his anger, because of his it wasn't righteous anger. He was upset. So, you know, that's a like Pastor used to say, timing is everything. And God's timing is a lot of times different than ours.
Yeah.
You know, our timing is now and right this minute, and his timing, he doesn't count time like we do. So,
and also, we are a living example. We are to be a living example of Christ. The world is supposed to be able to look at us and see us living the Word and living Christ, clothed with Him. And whenever we strike that rock on our own, whatever your motivation is, the people around you see it.
Yes.
And it does damage. It's not just about you.
Very good point.
That's right.
Yeah, we have to remember that. The things that come upon us, you know, and we are Christ's representatives on earth. You know, that damned Pope over there is not. He's as antichrist as they come. You know, we I had an acquaintance. He's one of my volunteer firemen. His daughter died just a few weeks ago, and they're Catholic. And we went to the little vigil they had the night before the funeral, and then to the funeral out of support for him and his wife. And I don't know if you've been to those, but they are ceremonial, heavy on ritual and ceremony and that type thing. And the smoke and the little censer thing waving it, and literally the Christ on the cross, you know, those type things. And you know, it reminded me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that, you know, for hundreds of years had tried to take what was written in the Word and apply it in the right way. And they applied it, but it was always in the wrong way.
Did it stir up a little bit of holy hate in you?
You know, it did. It you know, when I came out of it, it was like, you know, I have Christ without that ceremony. You know, they're false shepherds. They lead the sheep astray. And it was I don't know if disheartening is the word. It was sad to see that there's so many people that think that they're just on the right track because they're doing what they've been taught. They're doing what their parents did, what their grandparents did. But you don't see that light. You don't see, like you guys were talking earlier about, you know, that light of Christ and others seeing Christ in us. When I read of Christ in the Bible and I read it, you know, I certainly don't see that, and I didn't see it in that place. I didn't see it in those people.
And I was picturing as you were describing it, and my first thought was, well, that, you know, this Pope is only speaking these empty words, but they're not empty. And the words that the people repeated after him, they're not empty. They are lifting up a foreign God.
Yeah.
And they're an abomination to those that speak them. There's power in those words, and it's the slow destruction of those who are participating.
Yeah. Yeah. Think of if your wife were coming in and praising some other man in front of you. You know? If she's coming in and glorifying
right.
some other man, oh, Billy down there, oh, Billy is just so cute. And you know, Billy, he fixed my car for me, and he's done this and that. And, you know, how's that going to make you feel? You know, I'm getting riled up just thinking about it, you know, because I'm jealous for my wife. I don't want my wife going to anybody else, you know.
We all want our wives to think we're the greatest.
Absolutely. And aren't we the bride? Aren't we supposed to? I mean, we're the divorced bride, but aren't we the bride? And I think that's what came to mind when you were saying that, Josh, is that, yeah, there are power in those words. You know, even if it's just words, they think it's just words. You know, if your wife comes in, she might not mean it. But boy, if she's saying it, it has effect. and his people,
right,
whether they know it or not, if they're, that there is people, you're right. They say these words. They have this faith, but not in him. And you know, a lot of them do works, but they're not for him. They don't glorify him. You know, even the, I don't know what he was, Father Friar. They had a FR in front of his name on the little board there, so I don't know what he was. But he prays to Jesus and to the Holy Mother and to St. Paul and, you know, several, like, big ceremony. Like I said, it reminded me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees along those lines.
Won't you pray for him, and we'll join you, Ben, so you had that experience here.
We'll do it. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for that experience. And, Lord, I've prayed for comfort on the family that lost their daughter, Lord, and it's a genuine prayer.
Yes.
That, Lord, you would comfort them, and you would use this to draw them closer to you, Jesus Christ, your truth, the true gospel, Lord. We need no pope to stand between us and you. We need no, you are the intercessor, Lord. You, Jesus Christ, and you alone, and you are not on that cross anymore. And Lord, help them to see that, Lord, you've come down from that. Help them not to crucify you daily by keeping you on that cross, Lord. You are not there anymore. Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of your people. Lord, we sigh, we groan, we cry out. Lord, your people are perishing. They are dying. Lord, they're dying apart from you. And they don't even know it. Lord, open the eyes of your people. Open your eyes. We thank you for so many that have come to not that just because they've come to this ministry, but because they've come to you, they've come out of that false religion. They've come out of what they've been, the lies they've been taught. We thank you for them, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you'll call more. And Lord, those that do this purposefully, Lord, that deceive your people, Lord, we know what their end is. Let them know what their end is, Lord. And if they can repent, Lord, bring them to repentance before it's too late. Because, Lord, we know what comes. We know, we believe, and we know what your word says for the unrepentant, for the liar, for those that purposefully deceive. Lord, their end is not a good end, Lord. Not for them. But it will glorify you. You will be glorified, Lord. Your word is true. And we thank you for that, Lord. Guide and direct us. Let us be that light in this dark world. And let us do so honorably, Lord, and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we do come against and break those spells that bind your people, Lord, that have been cast in that Catholic Church for so many years. We come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that in your wrath, you'd remember mercy on your people, Lord. I pray that the Pope and all those priests that are out there, Lord, if they be of their father, the devil, I pray that their people would replace those figurines of Jesus on the cross, Lord, with their bloody bodies and put them out in the street for everyone to see what happens whenever you come against the true God of Israel. I pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you and ask that you would make a revealing of these evil men who deal in these false religions, whatever they may be, Lord, that you would expose them, expose their, the Bible says that their nakedness will be exposed. Lord, make it apparent to all who see them that they don't wear the covering, the clothing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they mislead people and that they weigh people down with sins and with heavy rules and with heavy symbolism. And Lord, that they make that a substitute for the simplicity of Christ. I just ask that you would, we pray for those, our brothers who are under this spell and this seduction, Lord, and we just ask that they would have their minds and ears and eyes opened to the simplicity that is Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name and by his blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. just in way of speaking about that, I always think about that with the Catholic issue, and you brought it up, Richard, Father or whatever, but Matthew 23:9 says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. So
wouldn't that be, wouldn't you think that would be enough? Not to call somebody father, you know, other than your physical father. Yeah. Now, we understand it doesn't mean you don't call your dad dad, but the people, they're just blinded to it. Something as simple as that. As simple as that. Yeah.
Well, and if we think about it, the Catholic Church has always had a history of trying to keep people out of the Bible, either through Latin or through... I mean, it's always seemed a little odd to me that you would go into a church and that they would conduct the services and a lot of those things in a language that's dead.
Yeah.
That's not spoken.
In the ceremony, the friar or father, whatever he called himself, you know, somebody else brings the script, the book out to him and opens it, and it's so holy and reverent, you know, the Gospel of John, and the people say something, you know, in reply, and he reads out of it, and then he kisses it, and, you know, and it's like that's not Christ. You're right, they try to hold it in such false reverence that the people are scared to even, you know, the people, and you know what it puts into people's minds? It's psychology. Oh, I can't open up the gospel and read of the most holy Saint John or whatever it may be. And, you know, that's that Pharisees, that Sadducees, those people that, you know, were putting out falsely how to worship God and who God was. And anyway, that was the thought that came to me there. That was what. And no, Christ is here in this word. We have it open. He tells us to just as we're immersed in baptism, to immerse ourselves in his word, in him, and to have it part of our daily life. That's the Christ I know, a friend, you know, who gets down and dirty with us when we're down and dirty in the mud and in the mire and in the trials and tribulations of life. And, you know, and you can look over your right shoulder and there's Christ right there with you, helping you. You know, that's the God.
And smile at the future.
Yeah, yeah, and saying, hey, we're going to get through this. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank you guys for joining us. I want to remind everybody, hey, coming up on March, got a couple of 91st days in the middle of March. We have information on the website, but it's March 18th and 19th. So if at all possible, we urge you to observe those. And we want to invite you to church tomorrow. 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. Join us for church at scriptures4america.org. And if you don't have a good internet connection, hey, we record it. We'd be glad to send you a DVD on Monday morning. We send hundreds of those out for DVD church. Well, guys, thanks again for joining us. Have a blessed weekend. Spend some good time with your family. And at Remnant, we thank you for your prayers, your support. Be reading your Bible. We urge you to do that. Thanks a lot, guys.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, 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 move them out ride them or snake-eyed.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over snake-eyed. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.